So no surprise, we've been talking about this in the news for several years now, that we have a real housing crisis, not just in Connecticut, but really across the country. And there's a lot of debate over the last, especially few years in the legislative session. It seems like we go back and forth talking about what is the best way that we can make more affordable housing and just make more of it in general. And we can't seem to agree. So we're sort of stuck in this place. And earlier this month, the governor actually met with hundreds of realtors who also were saying, we have no inventory. We have no places to sell. We're struggling as just an industry. So what can we do? Is there a way to attack the housing crisis in Connecticut? And so this morning, I'm very excited to introduce to all of you Renee Dobis, who is with the Connecticut Housing Partners. And I don't know if a lot of people are familiar, but Renee is here to really explain what they do. And we'll sort of dive into this today. So Renee, thank you for coming in studio.
To be here.
I'm so glad that you are here, and I'm excited to introduce the model of work that you do. Mm-hmm. So talk to us first about what is Connecticut Housing Partners and how long have you been around?
So Connecticut Housing Partners has been in business for more than 30 years, and we are developers and managers of affordable housing. We primarily operate in Fairfield County, which is really the area that's most impacted by the wealth gap in regards to very wealthy and then low-income folks. And so housing in Fairfield County is a very big challenge for them. So, of course, we want to have an impact throughout the state of Connecticut. And we've been working very closely with the Department of Housing and Connecticut Housing Finance Authority because we want to partner with them, and together we can help impact and develop and grow more affordable housing. And so we're looking at many different things. We're looking at naturally occurring affordable housing, which may be apartment complexes in depressed areas that we could reclaim and convert. We're looking at land opportunities. So we're trying to do the best that we can to build as much as possible. And we're not just building for ourselves. We partner with other smaller nonprofits who want to be able to have an impact as well. And we help them get to that place so that we can do that. It's a very exciting time because, as you said, the governor has infused $600 million of funding additional for the Department of Housing to spend. And their goal is to create 6,400 units in the next 3 years. That sounds like a lot, but when we have a shortage of 86,000 units, that's not enough. And affordable housing, people think it's just poor people who don't want to make their way in life. And that's not true. It's our sons and daughters trying to get out and be able to start for the first time. It's our parents and grandparents who've retired and now they need to find an affordable place to live because they're on a fixed income. It's people who've had a crisis in their life. We help so many people where they were very stable and then a crisis occurred and now they find themselves homeless. We're pulling a lot of people out of the homeless shelters, and these are not just adults. There are children attached to these homeless shelters. So we have a lot of women with children who've been couch hopping, who've been living on the streets. So we do our best to house them as well. So the impact is to our economy is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
And the governor even said he's trying to attract new business into the state. And he said the first thing these businesses ask him, where are my workers going to live? Exactly.
Right.
Where are my workers going to live?
Well, it's crazy.
So it is crazy. And, you know, you have to earn $57,000 to be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment.
And like that. So I'm glad that you brought up affordable housing because can I just say something without getting in trouble? I hate that term.
I do, too.
I really do. Yes. I hate that we have, first of all, it has so much political attached mm-hmm. to it, but also it's just not accurate because I think when people hear affordable, you're right, they always immediately think these are either poor people, these are people who are whatever. But I always think of, I look at, like, for example, my sisters who are in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And when my sister moved back after college, wanted to move out of my parents, got a great job considering 1 year out of college,
right.
And she wants to move into Stanford. Give me a break. To go into a studio, you literally have to be making close to six figures. That's absolutely insane. How can you expect that of a 24-year-old?
That's right.
I don't know if that is the majority of affordable housing in Connecticut. Like, are those the needs that we're kind of trying to address better, would you say?
Well, I think we're trying, but if I could say something without getting in trouble.
No,
like
you can't get in trouble with me, Renee. No way. No way. No.
So I think down in Fairfield County, you know, when you're thinking about Greenwich and Westport, you know, these are communities that are really fighting affordable housing mm-hmm. and trying to have these communities come into their community. So you have to think about it this way. So if you're in a very rich community, the school teacher that's teaching your child can't afford to live in that community. So they have to commute.
Exactly.
The fireman that you want to protect your home if there's a blaze can't live in that community. The policeman can't live in that community. This is the workforce that we are trying to accommodate and be able to house so that they can live and work in the same community that they're in.
Right. And so we have Renee Dobas here, who is with Connecticut Housing Partners. And we're talking about the crisis that we are facing in Connecticut. We're facing it across the country. We don't have enough housing. And certainly the housing that we do have is not that affordable. So tell us about, if you don't mind, Renee, because some people also might be really surprised to hear about some of the properties that you have done recently. Like when you and I had met, you had told me about a property in Wilton that sort of at first it was like, nope, we don't want that here. But it's thriving, actually. It's so could you tell us maybe some stories just recently that you guys have been involved with?
Sure. So in Wilton, there was actually a coalition of people who, residents who lived in Wilton, who realized that their parents had to move out of the town. And so they realized we need some senior housing within our community because we want our parents to be close to us. So they raised about $2 million, and then they partnered with us, where we then were able to continue obtaining the financing through a tax credit program. And we partnered with the town as well, who leased us 5 acres of land that was off the main drag, couldn't be seen by anybody, down by the train station. So, you know, out of sight, kind of put us over there.
Right.
And so we took up the challenge, and we built a 51-unit independent senior affordable housing. And then a few years later, we added to it a 23-unit congregate development where we offer light housekeeping for the residents, you know, once a week, a hot meal once a day. These are people that are a little bit more frail, but they want some semblance of independence and they're not ready to go into assisted living. So we literally changed the street and we put a street light at the end and then a few years later, a market rate apartment complex. They built it right next to our property.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
With us being there, because if you drive by our properties, you can't tell they're affordable.
No, I had no idea.
Right. You cannot tell.
When I look at the pictures that you guys brought in, I had no clue. And I know that just recently, you guys just were, this was a property in Bridgeport, the one that was the big announcement.
Yes.
Didn't see your name there, though. I think it's very interesting that not a lot of people, when I was bringing up in my promotions leading up to today, when I say Connecticut Housing Partners, I think they confuse you maybe with other entities, but I don't know if people, you guys have been around though for a really long time.
Yeah, a really long time. And that's part of the reason why we're here too, is we want to push our brand out there. We want people to know about us because we want to increase our pipeline and build more units for ourselves, but we're more than willing to help others do that as well. And there's very few of us around within the state that are doing this work. So that's why it's so important that we want to partner with others as well, because together we can all make it happen.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about housing and the amount that we don't have here in Connecticut and what can we do to not only create more housing, but also make it more affordable. So Renee Dobas is here and she is with the Connecticut Housing Partners, the CEO, I should say. I haven't said CEO once. How awful. So Renee is a big deal. And I love that you are going to be kind of like our housing expert on the morning show. I'm very excited that we're doing this. I wanted to just clarify for people, because I think what's really neat is the model that you guys do to create your housing. We were just saying before the break, it's beautiful what the housing that you make. And sometimes, isn't it donated properties sometimes that you'll work on or you guys always create, like, you know, give people an idea of where do you get your plots of land or your properties?
Sure. So we try to partner with as many folks as possible. So if we're working with a municipality, sometimes they have tracts of land that they're willing to lease to us. And it's usually 99 years. And that's an important relationship because then the municipality is able to keep this precious resource for themselves, which is land. But then the land is being purposed in a way that helps their community at the same time. Sometimes we buy the land. We purchased some land in Monroe, so we're getting ready to do a development in Monroe. We're actually working with a church in Stratford, so we're hoping to be able to work with them. We're partnering with Career Resources. Hi, Career Resources.
What's really neat, I'm curious for people who might be confused on this, are you considered a nonprofit? What would you consider Connecticut Housing Partners?
Well, we actually are a nonprofit.
Nonprofit, yeah.
And I think the other misnomer that people have out there is that they think the federal government pays for all of this housing.
That's why I asked that.
I think people automatically think housing authority. We are not a housing authority. I like to view our housing as housing of choice, not housing of last resort. And we're stabilizing families. And it's really difficult to build the capital stack. It's not like I'm a market rate developer where I can just go to the bank, give me $10 million, I want to build this development, and then, you know, we just start building. We really rely on the tax credit program because tax credits are really important. So as an example, say a project costs $10 million and I'm able to get $4 million of tax credits. Well, that's an infusion of cash that I don't pay back. So really the project's costing me in debt $6 million. And keeping that debt down is really important because I'm housing folks that are at 60% area medium income or below. So I'm not earning market rate rent. I'm getting, say, 60% of market rate rent. Mm. So it's really important to be able to keep the property healthy over the next 20 years to make sure I have enough money coming in through rental income to be able to take care of the property and pay all of the bills associated with that property. So that's a big program that we really rely on. I actually was in D.C. back in March. I was lobbying on the Hill because I was asking, our congressmen and senators to be able to increase the amount of funding that goes into the tax credit program because tax credits are appropriated to the states based on population. And, you know, Connecticut's a relatively small state, even though we have such a dire need for affordable housing.
So true.
And, you know, because we're kind of stuck in between New York and Massachusetts, and it's a beautiful state, and many people want to stay here and live here, but sometimes they're forced to be able to move elsewhere to be able to live, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So there's many ways that people can help us be able to build affordable housing. And we're also very lucky in this state, too, because our state legislation, our congressmen and senators, they're all very sensitive to the affordable housing crisis that we're in right now. And they're really supportive of it. And so there's always legislation that's coming out to help support affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to shout out to some of our state legislators because I want to ask them to really put on the docket that we need to do something about having a pilot program for property taxes for affordable housing, because right now it's a real struggle. That's one of the largest expenses that we pay because we're paying almost market rate for property taxes, even though we don't collect market rate rent. So that's going to be a passion of mine for the next couple of years until I get that resolved. So if anyone's listening, help me out and join my cause.
Yeah. Now, Renee, another thing I wanted to talk about before we wrap up is that term NIMBY, which you see, NIMBY, which is the not in my backyard.
Yes.
You hear that term also tossed around an awful lot. What does that really refer to, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, it refers to what I was speaking about earlier, where we have some of these, and it's not always the wealthy communities. It could be moderate communities as well that, like you said, you don't like the term affordable housing. That brings with it a negative connotation. And so people automatically don't want that. So they try to fight to keep that out of their communities. And it's unfortunate. They passed some legislation called Yes in My Backyard. That was at the federal level. So hopefully, that will have an impact in our local communities. But I do think some of the local mayors and first selectmen are really beginning to understand that this is an important fabric in their community, that it's needed in their community. And, you know, because we need to have diversity of community, and diversity brings a wealth of other economic benefits to a community. And I mm-hmm. think everybody is beginning to understand that.
And I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said when we are talking about affordable housing, we are talking about our kids. Like, I already worry about, forget saving money for my kid's college. I hope to God he just goes trade school just so that I could give him the money for a house. You know, I think we worry about the next generation, but we also judge this generation for living with their parents too long, but they can't afford to not live with them. There's just a very big trickle-down effect. And even with the workforce, with trying to get people to go into nursing and teaching and everything else, one of the biggest reasons that they won't do it is because they don't make enough money to then pay to live here. Right. So they're not going to come here. But we want the best education. We want the best healthcare. We want the best hospitals. Can't do it. Right. If we can't even support them before they walk in the door for their work, we can't even put a roof over their heads. So these are the things I just don't know if it's being talked about enough publicly. I think we go right to, again, the politics and what is this going to look like for our town without looking at it reasonably. Like, wait, who's making up our town? Our teachers, our police, our fire. And so I think your cause is saying, like, let's stop with the fighting and let's just start making solutions happen. So I do hope that we start to see that more and more. And I hope, this partnership only helps a little bit more with that, because I do believe in the cause that you guys are doing. And I thank you so much for what you do. Renee, we have run out of time. Is there anything you want to end on before I have you back in studio, hopefully very soon?
Well, I welcome everyone to visit our website, which is cthousingpartners.org. And there is a donate button. So anything that you can do to help us to provide additional affordable housing would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much, Melissa, for having me.
Absolutely. Renee Dobis, again, is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners right here on WICC.